myself more than anyone else about that one. The ground rules, which are posted once again, faithfully, by Rachel or Susan, I'm not sure which. Thank you, which basically suggests that we respect one another. So, Jackie Bachman, the chair of the committee, and I will keep things moving. I'm going to turn it over right now to Jackie.
Thank you, John. Okay, so we're going to have the approval of the minutes. Are there any corrections or discussion on the minutes? These are from January 8th. Hearing no corrections, is there a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve.
Is there a second?
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Everyone say aye to approve.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. All right, we're going to move on to public input. We have a total of 1, 2, 3, 4 people who would like to speak. It's up to 3 minutes per speaker, and correct me if I have that wrong. Our first speaker is Jocelyn Sanford, and the second speaker is John Weston, and if you both will come up, please. And then if you could say your name and give your address before you speak.
Okay. My name is Jocelyn Sanford. I live at 2687 Nicholson Way in Ashland. And I've been a resident of Ashland for the past 16 years. I'm a mother of 3 and work as a physical therapist. In my job, I work in the acute care, rehabilitation, and aquatic therapy settings. I work with clients who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, as well as the occasional centenarian. I also work as a water polo coach with middle school and high school aged youth. Somehow, the issues involving the senior center have gotten tangled up with the conversations about a groundwater pool rebuild. I find this unfortunate in this reading to the citizens of Ashland. It is not an either-or situation. Why can't we, as a community, work together for both an improved and well-managed senior center and an updated and user-friendly community swimming pool for all ages to enjoy and benefit from? It has been many years of the aquatic community working toward a solution for an appropriate pool. And these are some old tidings covers from 2014 and 2015. I am so dismayed that our most recent efforts in working with the City of Ashland Parks and Recreation Department and with the school district has been derailed by a small group of people, namely the SOS group, Save Our Seniors. It was the SOS group that expressed concern about the cost of a Daniel rebuild, when now their recall petition will be costing the City of Ashland taxpayers estimates of over $20,000. Our city needs both a senior center and an updated swimming pool for our community. I'm not in favor of recall and I support the current Parks Department and the Parks Department commissioners and director and for the work they're doing.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm John Weston. I live at 997 Oneida Circle. I've lived in Ashland for 40 years. I'm a secondary teacher at Ashland High School for over 30 years. And my issue today, what I want to talk about is just my feelings about the recall. I know each of the individuals that are involved. I know Michael. I've worked with him on a few occasions. I know Mike Gardner and Jim Lewis and Sean. I had their kids in class. I've attended several Parks Commission meetings, and I see these as hardworking, caring folks that really take care of our parks and sometimes make difficult decisions. And I think this recall has targeted them for some of the decisions that they felt compelled to make. And I guess overall, one of my biggest issues with the recall and targeting these individuals that I respect is that there's so much misinformation out there, and I'll give 2 examples. My wife was asked to sign a petition when she was shopping at the co-op, and when she came out and talked petition, she told her that that the parks wanted to build an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Well, that's never been on the plate, my knowledge anyway, and my wife knew this, and of course she didn't sign the petition. The other example is even, I find more alarming, two friends of mine, we were visiting this past week, and we were talking about this recall, and they shared with me that they actually signed a petition, and I said, well why? And they both said, and they went at different times to shop and cart, and were told, sounded like by the same woman, I mean, they described her, that they were going to, the Parks Commission had voted to close the senior center. And so each of them said, well, I find that. I think we need a senior center. So my issue is that there's so much misinformation out there. And it seems to me it's just that there are some folks that are upset enough with some of the decisions that they're willing to, that the Parks Commission made, that they're willing to stretch the truth, misrepresent the truth, whatever. To try to garner as many signatures as they could just to be able to mount this recall. So I'm in a situation, I don't know what to do about that, but I'm certainly willing to put my time and energy to help defeat the recall, and I appreciate the work that's done by the Park Commission. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next two speakers are Rebecca Kay and Jerry Matthewson.
Hi, my name is Jerry Matthewson, and I live at 640 Beach Street in Ashland, and I've lived here since 1980. I just want to share a story that happened to me just yesterday. Since I had injured my back slightly, I decided to go to the YMCA pool for an easy workout in an overly warm pool temperature. Getting in the pool was a challenge since they only provide 2.5 lanes for lap swim. The pool was packed with children and adults. I spotted a young girl with her father who was carrying a workout board. Eventually, we were able to enter the pool and share a lane where we could circle swim. My idea of a gentle workout went out the window as I was inspired by the young swimmer, Amelia, to do the workout with her. At 13 years of age, she had developed great stroke technique and was looking forward to eventually swimming with the Ashland High School swim team. The Ashland team, as well as two other teams, currently practice at Daniel Meyer Community Pool, which becomes quite a challenge as winter descends on the outdoor facility, often with ice forming on the pool deck. Being aware of the difficulties of continued development of the swim community here in Ashland, I became concerned that by the time Amelia was in high school, 2 years from now, there may not be an Ashland swim team for her to join. Her favorite stroke is breaststroke. Please support the rebuild of Daniel Meyer Pool so that Amelia and other kids continue to have the opportunity to follow their dreams. And then briefly, in the locker room, I ran into an elderly lady, a fellow senior, who was stating how overcrowded the pool was at the Y and how ridiculous it was that there's not even room to get in. She had, she told me that she started water aerobics when she broke her arm and hadn't really been in the water before that, but had actually become a swimmer and a water aerobics person. So she had found the healing, you know, the water being a healing source as a senior, and here I was with two ends of the spectrum, a young gal who wanted to become a swimmer with Ashland High, and an elderly woman who wanted to have a space in the water. So I, too, support any support we can get to rebuild the Daniel Meyer Pool, which was originally built as a community pool by Albert Meyer and his wife, whose son Daniel had died in a drowning incident. I also don't support the recall of Parks and Rec. They've worked hard. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Rebecca Kay. I live at 2350 Ranch Road in Ashland. Been an Ashland resident since 2010. I'm here to speak out against the recall as well. I am absolutely furious with these SOS people for attacking our Parks and Rec and our director and singling out commissioners. I believe that what they've done has really torn at the social fabric of the way our democratic government works here in Ashland. I think the city of Ashland does, and Parks and Rec do a fantastic job of maintaining the city and maintaining the parks and offering services for not only all seniors, but all of the citizens. So that's my first point. I'm really furious with them. If I could find a way to legally make them pay back the city the $30,000 it's going to cost for this recall vote, I think I'd go for it. I'd push for that. The second point that I wanted to bring up is the fact that the recall people have disseminated a lot of misinformation, and they've brought into their fold projects that shouldn't have been part of the senior center effort at all. For instance, they've attacked the Lithia Park study of 100 years, and they've attacked the Dan and Wire rebuild project as well. When the recall vote is over and our commissioners have retained their seats, I would like to issue an invitation to the senior center people and go there and lay out the whole Dan and Wire rebuild project and show them what it actually is. It's not an Olympic-sized pool. It's not going to exceed the current footprint that the pool takes up. I'd like to show them how it's going to reuse the existing structure and save money that way with everything that's already there in place. So those are my two or three points right there. I'm greatly in favor of keeping our commissioners on the jobs that they've been doing so well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lastly, that's all our speakers. Susan, did you have any others?
No.
Okay, thank you. Then we move on to additions and deletions. Do we have any additions or deletions?
Okay.
Yes.
It's not really an agenda item, but I just wanted to mention the binder. And so you all know, I'm gathering together the materials that we had by way of background material, background and other items that are related to our process, and they will be in this binder and passed on to the new permanent staff. So if you have any items that you believe should be in here, please send them my way, and we'll make sure that they get passed on.
Thank you, Ann. Okay, can we move on? John, are you good for this moving on?
Yeah, I think we're all good. Rachel is up.
Yes, thank you.
I'm going to give a really brief report on this, the Senior Center program and where we're at within the last month. Some exciting news to report on a couple of fronts. We actually did, we were having basically one person in the office all the time covering, you know, Monday through Friday. We did hire a temporary employee to help out in afternoons, 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 1 to 3:30. We also have two new office volunteers that have that we're training right now, and we have one working on Tuesday and Thursday from 10 to 1, and then we also have another one working on Friday from 11 to 1. So it's taking, it'll take some of the pressure off of the current office staff to be able to move around the building a little bit more freely. So that's good news. The same programs are happening. We do have something new that's happening. Peter DeGroot, who is our current volunteer for Mac Instruction, is booked out until mid-April. So we have actually found a computer tutor who teaches math classes at the library in Ashland, David Haywood, and he is going to be on site at the Senior Center once a week to help fill that need for math instruction. The AARP driving classes are happening, coming up on February 21st and 22nd. Those classes are full. We have another class that's going to be offered in May, on May 9th and 10th. As well. The utility discount program, the ELITE program, the low income energy assistance program, 3 were of those were denied for being over the income level, and 5 were returned seeking some additional information. We've had multiple sessions from the crime prevention specialist Ron Cole, who does some safety workshops at the senior center. He has one more coming up on February 28th, an understanding internet and safety tips. We had a class last week that had over a dozen people attend. Lori Stanton, who's the regional coordinator for the Alzheimer's Association, is leading 2 daytime workshops. Actually, she just had one on January 24th. About 10 people attended that class, and then she has another one coming up this week on February 14th, the basics of Alzheimer's. We are doing a partnership with RVCOG. It's a 6-week program called Living Well with Chronic Pain, and they had their first class last week, and there's about 10 people that are attending that class, and that's in the evening from 3 to 5:30. And that's it.
Excellent.
Well,
hello.
Thank you.
Hello. Thanks,
Rachel.
Yeah. Jackie. Great. I'd like to just briefly review the process of our recommendation using the Standards of Excellence categories and criteria of the National Institute of Senior Centers. I know you all have the national standards, but I'd like the public to understand as well how we are moving forward with these. There are 9 categories. The first one is purpose and planning, the second community connection, the third is governance, the fourth administration and human resources, the fifth is program development and implementation, and this is where the best practices for programs and services is located. Then we have 6, that's evaluation, 7, fiscal and asset responsibility, 8, records and reports, and finally 9, facilities and operations. As we move through the agenda today, you will see the standard category for the item we are working on. So when we are discussing the job description and the program description, we're focusing on standard number 4, and that is administration and human services. When we discuss the community assessment, that refers to standard number 1, and that's purpose and planning. Then when we go to the item of the Standing Advisory Committee, that refers to standard number 3, governance. And then the budget discussion will focus on standard number 7, and that's fiscal and asset responsibility. This gives us a framework for ensuring that we address all the key areas for a successful senior program. We will have touched upon all 9 of the standard categories before we complete our work next month in March. In our process, some standard criteria have become prioritized and therefore addressed more comprehensively. Examples of this are the program and job descriptions and the community assessment. In other standard areas, such as program implementation, our recommendations will be addressed more effectively by the new senior manager and advisory committee. And that's where we talk about programs and services and what to implement, how to measure, how to move on with those programs. Any questions before we move on?
Let me just say that it was useful to put everything in context, Jackie, in terms of the recommendations and pairing them with numbers to keep us on that. We're next. Michael Black, I think you're next on the agenda.
Am I really?
Mm-hmm. Job and program description.
So,
looking right along.
So I have been working with legal and human resources, but I'll back up really quick and just reiterate that the program and job description that was recommended by the ASPAC was forwarded to the Parks Commissioners, and they did approve those 2 documents. Now, of course, a job description is a technical document, and I think everybody knew going into this that you weren't writing the actual language that was going to be in the job description, but giving us the concept of the job description. However, we did try to use the language where we could. We did make modifications in different areas to be consistent with our job descriptions. We decided to go a couple of different directions that are consistent with the recommendations. But the first one is the title and the level of manager. Now, I was going to talk about this in my presentation on the budget, but the senior services is what we're kind of moving towards, the senior services within our community. And the job is bigger than the senior center. And I've been trying to say that, and I might not have done a very good job in the beginning of that, but the goal has always been to enhance senior services throughout the community with a center, which in this case happens to be a 1699 Holmes Avenue, being just the central location of the services. So the program is much bigger than just managing a center. We see this position as fulfilling outreach by coordinating with groups like RVCOG, ADRC, all the different things that are out there, and serving on boards and bringing groups into Ashland that already exist, that are there to serve the communities in Southern Oregon, bring them into Ashland to specifically serve the people of Ashland, whether that's at the senior center or any other building within the community. So we've opted to elevate this position and this is really a decision based on budget and a couple of other things, but to elevate it to the superintendent level. That's my recommendation to the Parks Commissioners. The reason why I'm choosing to do that is because I think we're trying to attract somebody who is on the level of, say, Rachel Dials, who can run a program that's bigger than one location. It operates over many locations, potentially serves on state boards as well as local community boards and committees and regional boards and committees. Has the ability to bring those groups in like I talked about. And so that's kind of what you're looking at here in this job description. I don't think I have a ton of time on this, so I'm just going to say that the job description has been modified just to the extent that it fits with and is consistent with the way that we do our job descriptions at Ashland Parks and Recreation Commission. And I did have the help of legal and human resources in doing this. This is technically a draft document, and I'm bringing it back here today for you guys to see so that you can see the progression that's taking. Technically, I do have to satisfy the Parks Commissioners. I do have to have one of the Parks Commissioners who was assigned review it in its final form before it is finally adopted and advertised for the job. Sorry about my voice. I don't think I'm contagious, so just so you know. Okay, and I think I just probably want to touch. Well, that's it. Are there any questions?
Not a question, but a comment. I'm just thrilled to hear the level of the job that's been determined. There's so many trends that are coming towards us with regard to aging, and there's so many resources that we could employ here as long as we have somebody with a focus and with some gravitas and some credibility and energy who will be able to engage with the many stakeholders who care about aging services, because after all, if aging services isn't done well for us seniors, we are all going to be seniors, so this is really important.
Good, thank you. And I'll just say, with 46% of our population being in this category, I think it also warrants the attention to the person or to the position, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Council. I had a question.
Yeah.
The program description that we have here, is that the program description as it was approved on the 22nd?
I believe what you're looking at is, if it has the added outreach as a bullet point, then it is the one that's...
When I listened to the video, I looked at the video on the 22nd, and I couldn't really tell whether, because you talked about that in that meeting about the job description and the program description as edited by, or as amended by staff.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really important for, well, for me, but also for our friends of this committee, and also for the public, to know the recommendations, to have the recommendations as they are approved by the commission, somewhere posted so that we can see them and so that the public also knows what has been approved.
Absolutely.
And it's finished.
And I was actually going to get that out today, and we didn't do that, but let me just say really quick, though, as amended is the same amendment that I proposed in the AFPAC meeting. So there weren't any other amendments that took place from the time the AFPAC reviewed them to the time the commissioners reviewed them. They were just minor clarifications on report twos and things like that.
I guess it was the discussion with Commissioner Lance where it went back and forth about, you know, what was being approved and things that was confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry?
There is just one thing. I have the copy that when I spoke at the meeting about to APRC, we did agree, or the APRC agreed to add the bullet either social services outreach or referral to outreach services. And it was a bullet that was going to be the first one, and then the second one is the first one that's there now, information and referral services. So we were going to leave that one as well.
Yeah, and that should be the final document. I do remember that.
Okay.
And we'll make sure that gets in there, and hopefully send that out this week to everybody so you can all see that.
Okay, thank you.
And I just, can I say one other thing on this? The program description, as I reported to the commissioners, and as I think I talked to you about in this meeting here, is something that we hope that the new superintendent of senior services will take as a starting point and develop that further with the sitting board, however it's termed, going forward in the future. So we hope to see that developed even further from what it is now.
Steph, you have a comment, and we should move on in the interest of time.
My comment was in the section that says communications and community outreach, where it says, establish collaborative working relationships with governmental and nonprofit agencies, senior communities. My preference would be, rather than saying elected officials, saying Ashland City Council and commission, because otherwise it doesn't necessarily mean that this person is going to be doing that. I think some specificity with that should be a good thing to have.
Well, and I would suggest maybe elected and appointed officials. I think there are times when somebody in a position like this may have an opportunity to speak to a representative of the state of Oregon or to a county commissioner as well.
You have that as well.
Oh.
I think it says state, national.
Okay.
I just wanted to be sure that this is taken seriously by the city council and the commissions in terms of somebody that can speak for age-friendly considerations on things like transportation and housing and budget decisions that the city council makes.
Okay.
So I just
thank you
that
for
clear.
The clarification. I think we'll get that in there.
Good. We're ready to move on. What's the Russian, buddy? All good? All right. And I'm turning it over next to Ann and Marion. Marion and Ann.
We're going to do something a little different. With this presentation today, we're actually going to be using PowerPoint slides. So you'll see the slides come up on the monitors there. So Ann and I are going to go through this presentation about the survey results. And I just, if you have comments or questions, please save them to the end. I think think you all know the survey subcommittee was Peggy, Mary, Ann, and me. We've all been working on this together, but Ann has been the person that has been doing most of the cross-tabs and working with the actual data from the survey, so she's going to talk about that. The community needs assessment generally, as you all know, has many different sources. We've actually looked at previous surveys, at public input both here at the AFSAC meetings and also at the Senior Center listening sessions. And just from talking to people individually, we've gotten some public input there as well. But all we're really going to be talking about today is the survey that was just done. So we had it running from January 10th to January 17th. January 27th, thank you. And there were 17 questions. 15 of the questions had check-off answers. Most of those you could skip, or you could say other was a possible response as well. So we were trying to give people as much scope as possible to answer however they wanted to. There were two questions that were entirely open-ended. Those questions we actually have not done too much analysis with or categorizing of the responses. We've done a little bit of work with that, but not enough to really present it yet. There were 744 surveys returned. On the way the survey was set up, both electronically and on the paper copy of the survey, well, on the paper copy, you didn't have to answer anything if you didn't want to, and we actually got one or two surveys where all they did was put a comment in at the very end. But in the electronic version, you did have to answer one question, and that question was, have you used the Senior Center? We wanted to know for sure what people that were responding on the survey had actually been to the Senior Center, used some of its services recently. So, as I said, some people did skip questions, some people skipped most of the questions, and Anne is going to be showing you the number of responses per each question as well. The distribution of the survey, we had an electronic version, and there were links to the electronic version, as you can see on the slide. There was an email sent out to Ashland based people in Ollie, and I think there was also an email sent out to all city employees with an invitation to the survey and a link to the survey. And we did have flyers, there were ads in the newspaper. I actually talked on the radio of KSKQ about the survey and provided the URL for the survey and all those media. And then the paper version could have been downloaded from your computer, or you could pick up a printed form from many different locations, again, as you can see. One of the things that we did was make sure that the survey was delivered to all the people who get meals delivered to them from Food and Friends. We consider that they are probably some of the most vulnerable members of the community. We really wanted them to fill out the survey, and I think we had a pretty good response from them. All of the survey responses were entered in SurveyMonkey, and that's what Anne has been using to do the analysis of the data. So I'll pass it over to Anne.
Okay, well, the first six questions of the survey had two purposes. We wanted to see how closely the respondents represented Ashland adults as a whole. And secondly, we knew that these answers would help us filter responses by various subgroups, such as how females and males might differ in their situation and views. And it also would let us weight the respondents as desired. So as this first slide indicates, on the basis of gender, the respondents were not representative. The survey generated significantly more responses from females than males relative to their proportion in the population of Ashland adults. The ratio was 73 to 25. Versus 55 to 45. Now, the males in the room might say, well, that figures. You women are always free with your opinion. But one interpretation, though, is that women are particularly sensitive to the needs of older adults because they're often called upon to assume the burden of caring for parents, relatives, and spouses, and they know how vital supports can be. So the gender ratio was somewhat surprising, but it was not unexpected that the respondents were older on average. I should clarify that the 744 respondents are not the only Ashland residents that care about the senior program. They're just the ones who chose to respond to our survey. So returning to how respondents were distributed by age, we did receive some responses from the under 50 group, but not commensurate with their representation in the community. And in particular, the 65 to 74 and the 75 to 84 were overrepresented. So you might wonder why we asked the question of with whom do you live? And what we were particularly interested in was the portion of those who live alone, which became even more important once we once it was clear that the respondents skewed to the older age group. Because in an older population, living alone can be a risk factor for poorer health and financial insecurity. However, the proportion of survey respondents who reported they lived alone, which was about a third, was in line with national figures. So given the skew toll towards older adults, it isn't surprising that about two-thirds who took the survey are retired. Applying filters confirmed the somewhat obvious point that retirement is age-dependent. In the under 50 group, only 3% describe themselves as retired, whereas in the 75 to 84 age group, over 93 said that they are retired. So income is a really touchy area to inquire about. The reason that we asked this question was out of concern for those at the lower end of the income scale. About 17% of respondents had household incomes of under $30,000, and in a city with rental costs ranging from an average of $761 to $1,227, and these are probably somewhat dated figures, those in these lower income brackets are dealing with significant financial stress. The survey asked a question about zip code to determine the proportion of respondents that were Ashland residents, and about 94% were, and 6% hailed from other nearby towns whose residents utilized our senior center. The only required question, as Marion said, in this, was this one about contact with the senior center in person or by phone in the past 2 years. And this was a really important determinant in looking at the use and non-use of the center. Just a little under half of the respondents, 347 individuals, reported contact with the center. And of course, not all users of the senior center responded to the survey. So mentions about the services that had been used could be grouped into two main areas. We considered games, movement classes, skills development, social connections, and volunteer opportunities in a recreational and social category, and these grew 419 mentions. The social services health category included information and referral services, meals, financial benefits assistance, and health programs and outreach services. And these had 290 mentions. The two categories, however, may be more closely linked than apparent because recreation and social activities can prevent social isolation and avoid or delay the need for social services. So those who had not visited or phoned the senior center in the past 2 years were asked why not. No need for what was being offered was the main reason, but not knowing anyone at the senior center and lack of awareness that there was a senior center or what it could provide were reasons that were also cited. So expanded program offerings, an environment that welcomes newcomers, and greater awareness of the senior program and what it does could increase utilization by a greater number of Ashland residents. This next question was particularly important in determining if there were those at risk whom the senior program could be serving. So when asked to rate their personal circumstances with regard to finances, health, housing, social connections, and transportation, 307 respondents rated one or more of these as fair or poor. So we filtered these respondents to determine whether they had used the senior program. While 148 had visited or phoned the senior center, 157 had not. And the same reasons for non-use of the center applied to this subgroup, as was the case for respondents respondents as a whole. So that was no perceived need, not knowing anyone there, and not knowing that Ashland has a senior center and what it offers. So increasing utilization by the most vulnerable individuals will be important. So the services cited by those who had had contact among the subgroup could be grouped into the same two categories, and as might be expected, there was a slightly higher proportion of program utilization in the social services and health area than with the overall respondents. Returning to the respondents as a whole, they were asked to rate the importance of various program elements to help set program priorities and planning by the new staff. And the highlighted areas were designated very or somewhat important to all, but about 5% of the respondents, with a warm, welcoming environment that's at the top of the list. That said, all the other programs were considered very or somewhat important by a significant proportion of the respondents. The survey asked the respondents to provide the priority of including a number of programs among what is offered in our senior program. Most of the available choices garnered votes, but end-of-life planning and outdoor activities for seniors topped the list. I was really glad about that last one because I've been coveting outdoor adult playground equipment, so. Anyway, this question is followed by an open-ended question that let respondents provide their own ideas for program activities, events, and services beyond the answer choices in the previous question. So, as Marion said, we're still categorizing those ideas, and we're really excited about the range of ideas that were mentioned. So the next several questions are intended to assess the respondents' use of other community resources so as not to make recommendations that replicate what might easily be found elsewhere. So first we asked respondents to tell us about their use of parks and rec programs, looking at the frequency with which these are used. Usage of the 17 parks and hiking trails were cited most frequently and by the broadest number of respondents. In recognition of the fact that our respondents reflect an older demographic, the age friendliness of these resources might be considered by the incoming senior program superintendent. Usage of the senior center was cited frequently by slightly over 150 respondents and occasionally by a similar number. So looking at other community, recreational, educational, and social resources, many of these are utilized by the respondents, with the Ashland Library serving about 90%, the YMCA and Holly Reach cited by 56%, and places of worship by 41%. So in providing social service needs in the form of information referral and assistance, our senior program is top of mind. And Red Valley Council of Governments, or RVCOG, is our local area agency on aging and the administrator of the Older American Act funds, which is makes it the funding source for senior services here locally. And the funds support information referral, options, counseling, and other vital services. RVCOG provides these through its Senior and Disability Services Department, which oversees the Area Agency, or Aging and Disability Resource Connection, or ADRC. And so the survey had actually asked about SDS and the ADRC separately, and they respectively. But when we collapse that and remove the duplicate mentions, 239 respondents cited ArchiCog as a resource. Now, significant number of respondents indicated that they don't need services, but others also cited Ashland at Home and Places of Worship as resources. And now, Mary will fill you in on the next step in mining this data.
And Mary, it's my job to tell you that you're sort of at time that might be, we're running a little ahead, it's okay. Some for questions too. Thank you.
So basically, this is what we're going to be doing further in the next month or so, is continue filtering responses and see if we can come up with some reasonable categorization of the verbal responses to the open-ended questions, and then write a final report, which of course will go out, go to the Parks and Rec Commission, but also everyone here. So that's our plans. I want to make just one other quick comment, which I meant to do before Ann started, and that is that if you are a real numbers person, you might have noticed that some of the numbers on this presentation are different from the numbers in your attachment, that what you got before this meeting. And that is because Ann took some of the responses that actually addressed that. For instance, I come to the senior center to volunteer, and she said, oh, that really is volunteer opportunities. And so she counted that in to the answers, specific answers to questions, instead of just having it be a verbal response. So we've already done quite a bit of work with the data, as you can see. Questions, comments?
I'd just like to commend all of you on the survey committee for the amount of energy you've put out in the initial evaluation of the data, and look forward to the report. Thank you very much, all of you.
Thanks, Laura.
Anybody else? Well, the sophisticated board, thank you very much for moving on now. That's the first.
Great job.
Thank you.
All our subcommittees have done great jobs on the job and program description.
So Jackie and Rachel, I think you are.
We are, yes. So I'd like to just introduce this topic of the Senior Program Advisory Committee application and appointment process. And just talk a little bit about the fact that, of course, we are ending our duties next month in March. And the idea here is that in order for a seamless transition to occur from this process, this advisory process, to a standing advisory committee, in order to do that, there are three main steps that the Ashland Parks Commissioners will need to take. The first one is that they will need to define the role of a senior program advisory committee, including the purpose, the makeup, term limits. Secondly, they will need to establish and open an application process and allow at least 4 weeks to gather applications. And then thirdly, they will need to publicize the new advisory committee openings so knowledgeable and collaborative community members can apply and be appointed by the APRC to the new standing advisory committee. And Rachel will explain the process.
Mm-hmm. I want to clarify first that the application for appointment to the Senior Program Advisory Committee would be the current application for appointment to city commissions and committees that is currently on the website, and it asks questions like your education and background, your related experience on being on the committee, why do you feel you would be a good member of the committee, and what are your interests and your availability. So talk about all of that. And so we just kind of want to keep it consistent with all the other committees within the city and focus on that application. The purpose of the Senior Program Advisory Committee is to advise the APRC commissioners on matters related to the Ashland Senior Program and to coordinate with the APRC director and the superintendent on matters related to the general operations, the quality, the promotions, and programming for the Ashland Senior Program. The committee makeup, the total members so there will be two program participant representatives. Those are current program participants at the senior program, but not more, with a maximum of three. And the community, there will also be two community partner representatives, with a maximum of three, so for a total of not more than five. In addition, there will be, we're recommending a one APRC commissioner, one city council liaison, for a total of seven members. Staff support will be supported by the current APRC director and the senior superintendent, and they will assist in planning and advertising and management of those meetings. The term limits of the Senior Program Advisory Committee will be 3 years, with no member serving more than two consecutive terms. And that is consistent with other city commissions.
I just had a quick question. Isn't the normal term 4 years for a city commission?
Not according to the City of Ashland website.
It's not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For appointed.
And I won't know the answer to that question, but the commission, the AFPAC and the commissioners can decide on whatever term.
Yeah, right. As I was reading through, it seemed every commission I've ever been appointed to, the terms were 4 years. I just, for some kind of consistency, it doesn't mean that.
I was just appointed to the Housing and Human Services Commission, and I have a 3 year
okay.
term.
Okay. It probably changed in the last 40 years.
Mary?
Rachel, could you explain what a community partner is?
A community partner would be someone who, someone who represents, like, maybe an RV COG or someone from SOU in the AWL program or from Ashland at Home, from a local community organization.
Thank you.
Once appointed by the commission.
I just wondered if you are specifying who is a voting member and who is not.
Maybe everybody except staff. Just what I said was that it should be everybody except staff. So everybody Rachel mentioned, including the city council representative and the parks commission.
It's different in different commissions. Mm-hmm. Like for the Forest Lands, for example, so the park commissioner is a voting member, as an example.
The Senior Program Advisory Committee, once appointed by the Parks Commission, will create bylaws in collaboration with the APRC staff, and those will be approved by the APRC at a regular business meeting. The advisory committee may also choose to develop a strategic plan and revise their mission and vision statement concurrent with the adopted goals of the commission. Our timeline, our proposed timeline is, we're obviously presenting this to you today and asking for your approval to recommend this to the Parks Commission at their regular business meeting coming up on February 26th. Pending approval by the Parks Commission, the application process would be open for 4 weeks beginning on February 28th. And it would close at the end of the business day on March 28th. Applications, once that closes, applications will be reviewed by staff and categorized as either program participants or community partners for about a week or two. Staff will not be making recommendations on applications. The commission will be appointing a committee. Applications forwarded to the Parks Commission will be reviewed by the Parks Commission either at a special meeting on April 15th as part of a study session or at their regular meeting on April 23rd. So we would have a committee in place to start meeting in May. And we're requesting action on this today.
Jackie, comments? Anybody? Comments or questions?
I have a question. I thought the public might be interested to know why you would do this before a manager is
I think the public question.
Absolutely. I think, just personally myself, the concept of having a standing advisory committee ready to go in May 1 would allow them to come together, to get to know each other a little bit, maybe to figure out how they want to welcome the new senior program superintendent coming in, senior services superintendent. But it just allows the group, I think, to become more cohesive and to communicate and maybe even look through the binder here, which is how many hundreds of pages does that have? But I would say there's quite a bit of homework that a new standing advisory committee should do before they hit the ground running in fiscal year July 1.
Mike?
So could you just cover, so how many members is there going to be?
There is going to be seven total members, city council liaison, parks commissioner, two program participants, but no more than three,
right,
and two community partners, but no more than three. So if we have wiggle room, so if we get an application, if the commission receives an application for three community partners and two program participants, they could appoint those five, or vice versa, so they have a little bit of room to pick and choose.
And is that subcommittee, are they going to determine themselves how often they meet? Is that in the bylaws that they're going to create? Is that how?
That is bylaws business, for sure.
Yeah, I'm just asking if that's
yeah,
that's what
that would be bylaws.
The game plan
yeah,
is
that,
they'll determine like how often they're going to meet, if they need a quorum, those kind of things.
Yeah, that would be part of bylaws.
More.
Is it a requirement to be a citizen of Ashland?
I believe for a city commission, I believe you have to be a citizen.
It is the requirement.
You don't? You have to live within city limits to be on a commission?
Only council and parks commission. Only elected officials need to reside in city limits, I believe. Planning commissions and historic commissions can be outside. I believe.
Okay, well, that might be, I see Rachel writing.
Well, I'll double check on that.
Yeah, good. Anne, I want to take you through these quickly.
I just wanted to find out how you defined a program participant.
Someone who's currently attending programs at the senior center, whether it be someone who's volunteering at the center or someone who is participating in a yoga class or Tai Chi or discussion group, something like that.
Okay.
I would also hope that this commission, or this committee, would also be a part of the selection process somehow for the superintendent.
So that's what I was going to say. That's one of the benefits of getting the committee going right away is, you know, as this committee ends its process, the other committee kind of picks up, and I know that was Jackie's plan, picks up and then also is representative of the community, the senior community, and helps in the recruitment process and potentially sits on interview panels during the interview process.
Other questions or comments before Jackie calls for a vote?
Well, first we need to call for a motion. So
I move that we accept this with the suggestion that you made.
Have a second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the formation of a standing senior program advisory board with the understanding it will have parallels to the city commission on the application, the term limits, and what was the residency. So it would be parallel to that. Any discussion? So it's been moved and seconded to accept this concept. Everyone who approves, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Motion passed.
You're up again.
No rest for me.
Item number eight on your agenda, folks.
Thank you.
Almost fun.
So I'd like to talk now a little bit about the recommended senior program personnel budget for 2018-19. And first, I want to give you a little history. And that is, in 2007, the senior program was moved from the city to the APRC because the city was financially stressed and APRC was well-funded at the time. Since then, the APRC has received no specific increase in financial assistance to operate the senior program over the last 10 years, which has created the current need for additional funding. The problem is that Ashland's senior population has increased steadily since the program was transferred to Parks and Recreation. The percentage of those aged 50 plus has actually outpaced the county, the state, and the nation. It's a pretty incredible statistic, but it is true. Since 2016, it's a very big percentage. Our seniors are now living longer and with chronic illness. The ASPAC survey makes it clear that Ashland citizens want and need appropriate services to stay independent and to have access to social services support when necessary. In order to provide the higher level of experienced and knowledgeable senior program manager who is required to do many things, including networking with local, regional, and state agencies, linking seniors to needed services, supervising the expansion of programs and services such as referral and outreach, developing transportation options for seniors, providing additional classes, ensuring the continuation of current programs, and evaluating the adequacy of the current and expanded facilities. The Ashland Senior Program definitely needs more ongoing funding in the APRC Senior Program budget for personnel. The current approved senior program budget for personnel for 2018-19 is currently $151,000. That's for one senior program manager with benefits and one part-time 10-hour-a-week office support staff. This means there would not be any coverage of the senior center program when the manager is facilitating referral and outreach for participants or needs to attend meetings and network with county and community organizations or perform other duties as assigned. In order to hire an experienced, knowledgeable senior program manager with a full-time coordinator and part-time office staff support, this is a total of 2.75 full-time equivalent. It would cost approximately $232,000. This is with Tier 3 benefits, which is the lower benefits, PERS benefits, to $262,000. This is with Tier 1 benefits. And that's for the total 2.75 full-time equivalent. Again, the currently approved personnel and benefits for 2018-19 is $151,000. That's for a 1.25 FTE, full-time equivalent, and that is below past staffing levels. If we are hiring a manager who is already in the Oregon PERS program, the higher number is more accurate. That means APRC needs approximately an additional $100,000 to fund the senior program at an appropriate level to provide the knowledgeable staff and especially a highly skilled and compassionate senior program manager whose job it is to communicate and provide the services and programs that our seniors need. In addition, staff training in the area of facilitation of referral and outreach should be included in the budget. I am hoping that our committee today will approve the additional minimum of $100,000 needed to hire the experienced senior program manager and staff at a level of 2.75 full-time equivalent to provide the necessary programs and services for our community's seniors. Do you have any comments or questions? Yes.
So this was all predicated before we learned that we were dealing with a superintendent-level job. And so figures on how that.
Yeah, the number that she's quoting from is actually that it's 268,000, and I think you said 262.
Mm-hmm.
That's with the superintendent.
Okay. So. And Michael is going to go over budget numbers with us and talk about where the additional funds or how the additional funds can be found to do this. However, I would like to have your comments and questions now so that we can have a motion and see if we can get an approval for the staff level at the 2.75 and the approximate, at minimum, $100,000 in order to move forward with the superintendent position.
Mary, and then Rob.
Approval or recommendation?
Yeah.
It's just an approval of the motion to recommend.
The recommendation.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Correct. Clarification. Rob, Jackie, am I remembering right that 2.75 or thereabouts is where the senior center was staffed last year?
Well, I'm going to let Michael talk a little bit about that because it has gone up and down.
Well, the senior center hasn't been fully staffed for a number of years. And there's been, Rachel, I want to say 2.25 is the highest we've been since I've been here. And then it was down to 1.75 and then down to 1.25.
I will say in the performance audit, they had used the figure of 2.75 as a suggestion. And that was in 2016, correct?
Did you want to follow that up, Rob, or Mike? No? Okay, Mike?
So I just want to make sure everyone's clear that there's no big pot of money anywhere that we, you know, add to ATRC's budget. We, you know, we have our budget for, we're almost to the middle of the biennium. And so, you know, as we make this recommendation, which it'll be a recommendation, you know, and senior staff has evaluated the possibilities, but you know, what that means is basically other things within our organization are going to be cut either back or cut out. And not that we don't want to do something like that. I just want to make sure, especially to the public, they realize that it isn't like there's going to be an infusion of $100,000+ into our budget to cover these changes. I mean, we're going to move things around, and Michael Black's going to move things around, and you know, and hopefully the commission will, you know, see what changes are brought to the table, and then, you know, and then take the recommendation and vote on it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make that clear.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments?
I'm just noting here on the other expenses that they jumped up quite a bit in 2017 and 18, and then an additional 27% was proposed. So just looking at that, you know, if there's some kind of, if you're going to comment on that particularly.
So
it went from 13,000 in 16-17 to 32, and then now 41 is proposed.
I wonder if we could hold that question for when Michael is going to go over the.
Yeah, we're just asking.
Yeah, and I can explain that.
Yeah. However, I would like to have a motion on the recommendation.
I move that we recommend the staffing level for the senior program.
Is there a second?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the staffing level 2.75 full-time equivalent.
Yes. Can you clarify who seconded the motion? Oh.
It was Anne.
Thank you.
So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Great. Another recommendation. And Michael, we turn to you.
Okay. So I'm going to take some time to talk about the budget of the senior program. And I guess we're calling it the senior services program. And I want you to know that I do agree with the
the motion that was just made and passed to recommend a higher level of service or a higher level of employees at the senior program, senior service program, to accomplish the goals that we have. So what we have right now, we have two recommendations that I'm going to address today. The third just happened, actually. But the first one is create a new division for the senior services. And with that comes some budget implications, but I also have some solutions. And then we have the new job description that was recommended, and it was for an upper management position, and you can see what we did with that. We even elevated it further and trying to expand as much as possible the duties to encompass as much as possible to serve the community. And that has some budget implications and has some solutions. And then now today, we have the additional 1.75 employees that we're going to talk about, and there's some budget implications and some solutions there too. So this is the proposed budget, and it's on the last column. It's in the gray and black. And as you can see, there's some increases in two general areas. The first is the total personnel services. Now, personnel services is made up of the salary that someone's paid, so their hourly rate, what they tell people they make, plus the next line down, which is fringe benefits, which none of us generally say include those in what our salaries are. But in fact, to have an employee like me or anybody else, that is part of how part of the money that goes to pay for employees. So we have to pay those things. And like you talked about, Jackie, Tier 1 versus Tier 3, there's a huge difference. Tier 1 is a retirement program that most of the people in Tier 1 are, you know, over the next 10 or so years will probably be retiring out. Then there's Tier 2, and then there's Tier 3. Tier 1 is, no offense to anybody who's Tier 1, but it's a really nice, rich benefit. It really is. And by some accounts, you know, it's just really good. Let's just say that. We still have Tier 1 people working for us, and we probably will for a while. So when I do my planning, and when we're looking at this budget right here for the superintendent position, I want you to know that I was planning at Tier 1, because generally when you're looking for a program administrator like this, a superintendent, they're generally going to be coming with some experience. And if that experience is in Oregon, which I think would hugely benefit us because they'd be familiar with programs, regional programs hopefully too, they're going to be Tier 1 most likely. So the other area is in materials and services, and you can see that the increase in there wasn't as big. And I'll go over the actual numbers here in a second. But those are the two general areas where we see the increases. And there was a question just a minute ago about the total materials and services budget. And you can see in 2015-16, it was 9,900, and then it was 13,300, and then it jumped up to 32, and then we're proposing 41 in the next year. The reason for that jump, there's a couple of things, and I'll just highlight a few of them. One is that previous to this last biennium, there were things that admin paid for that were actually benefiting the senior program, or the golf course, for instance, or other programs throughout Ashland, Parks and Recreation. So what we've been doing, Rachel and myself and the other superintendent, we've been working to get all of those charges into the budgets that they're responsible, that they benefit, let's say, so that we can see how much each program truly costs. So that's why you see the increase there. It's not a huge increase in what has happened at the senior center. It's just more true cost accounting. And the big jump, for instance, I can try and tell you really quick what the big jump was, but it was cleaning services. The cleaning services were paid over here, and then they were transferred over to the senior program. And it's not that the senior program wasn't being cleaned before, it's just that it was being paid for over here, and now it's being paid for over here. So it's not, and when you look at the bottom line of our whole APRC budget, it isn't actually a budget increase. It just increases in one area and drops it in another area. So those are the areas where you see fluctuations down services. On the next slide, I do have, I'm going to take a drink periodically and try and wet my whistle.
Can I just say one thing? I just want to make sure that everybody's clear that, especially since Michael Black has been on board, we've been trying to allocate costs to the proper parts of the organization, which wasn't always done. In other words, we would have a huge clean bill and admin would pay for that. We didn't spread it out. So we didn't know the true cost of some of our programs. So that increase that he pointed out there was basically reallocating money that had been paid in one, you know, in one ledger to actually show what the true cost of a particular program, in this case, the senior program was.
And we do this now down to each park so that we know materials-wise what one park costs over another park. So we try to get it to as fine a detail as we can. And between 2016-17 and 2017-18, the contracted services jumped $14,000, and that's the cleaning budget that I was talking about, and some other services as well. There's things like I won't get into them. I hope if there's any questions, please ask, and I'll try to explain it further. But the personnel, the approved budget is for $151,000. That's with 1.25 FTEs and 0.25 seasonals. What that is a part-time seasonal that isn't technically in the, they're not budgeted as a full-time permanent employee. They might change every 6 months or so. So they might have some benefits, but not all benefits. So that actually the equivalent in the program is 1.5 FTEs when you include that seasonal. That's with the current budget. So if you go to the proposed budget, which is 268, with a superintendent, that's 2.75 FTEs, just like Jackie laid out, just like you guys just made a motion and recommended that up to the Parks Commission, and 0.25 seasonal. So it's really the equivalent of 3.0 people down at the senior program, the senior center, senior services throughout the community. That's a difference of $117,000. So that's the biggest increase we're going to see. And this is typical with managing budgets. People cost a lot of money. It's just the way it goes. The fact is that, you know, we can't do things without people. And it costs a lot of money. It costs a lot to live. So wages are what they are. So we don't argue with this. This is just what it costs to do what we're proposing here. In the materials, we have $32,000 to $41,000. And really that $8,700 change is really just in advertising and in training. There was no training budget previously, and now there is a training budget. And there's also advertising, or we're increasing advertising, where it was $750 a year to $2,000 a year. I think that's what we need to do to promote this program and to get information out there. We need to put the money in these kinds of categories so that we can put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, or you know what I'm talking about. So I'm gonna just talk about what we have and how it breaks down as far as budget goes. So the superintendent is about 54% of the budget, and with three people, that doesn't surprise me. That's a big portion of the budget. It's a higher level employee, most likely a tier one employee. The coordinator is about 31%, and then we have the two part-time assistants, one at 0.5 FTE and one at 0.25 FTE. That comes out to 10 and 5%. So I bring that up now because it'd be a good time to talk about, I'm going to go to the next slide. So the total budget increase is going to be about $126,000. And what I'm proposing is that I think we have the ability to fund the increase within the existing approved budget of Action Parks and Recreation. And there's only one way that we can do that. And that's by having total buy-in from all superintendents like Rachel Dials and Jeff McFarland and all the other upper-level managers within APRC so that they believe in this at the beginning of the budget cycle, what we know about now. We've been able to consolidate all of those things. And although I'm not going to go over them with you today line by line, I can tell you that when I present them to the Parks Commissioners, they will be able to see how we will be able to continue to function, sufficiently function, and provide the services at the senior center and the funds we need at the senior center. Now, I have to say, though, there will be impacts. And I said sufficiently function, because there are some areas where we will cut back. And again, I'm not going to go over that tonight, but in working with the superintendents and the upper level managers, we found areas that we thought some for a short period of time we can modify, others permanently that we can modify. And we also found some areas where we can work together with the senior program, where the new coordinator will be accomplishing functions that the recreation coordinator does right now, with half the people in the community fitting into that bracket of the senior or getting close to that. That should have a lot to do with how our programming takes place and what kind of programming we are doing. So a portion of the coordinator's time can be time that was spent over here by somebody else already, Jackie.
One of the things you hear over and over right now in our community is the discussion about fiscal accountability. And there have been some reports out there that there is going to be a very large deficit in parks and recreation, something like $5.9 million. Can you address that? You really have been addressing how you're going to move forward with this, because we're looking at ongoing, this is something, it isn't just a one-time cost we're talking about.
Right. We couldn't pay for this increase with one-time cost, that's for sure.
Right.
It has to be something that's sustainable that we can count on biennium after biennium. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you are right. There have been some reports that there's a document. There actually is a document in the budget that shows, the budget document for the city of Ashland, Ashland Parks and Recreation, that shows that we're going to be at a $5.9 million deficit in about 4 years. I want to just show you really quick. It exists. It's true that it exists. It's also true that it's not correct. The fact is that this was addressed during the budget process. And this is the same for the city. This isn't just our fund. This issue is with the city's fund as well, where there were some revenues were only growing by what you consider a fair margin, but increases in expenses were increased by 17 and 18%. And finance has been looking into this, and they did bring this up during the budget process and verbally said that these pages were wrong. Unfortunately, we have three in the budget year that we just started, working up to getting the budget adopted. We had three finance directors through that period of time. So there were some things that happened, and there were some, maybe in this case, a miss. But it is not true that we will be at a $5.9 million deficit. And I can say that without any reservation at all, because our budget is dependent on our income. If the income isn't there, then our expenses will not be what they were in the previous year. They will be commensurate with the revenue that we have. Revenues and expenses are always the same. They always match up. So if on that level, it couldn't be true. Secondarily, we have some issues with the mathematics and the calculations on this spreadsheet. They are going to be fixing that. The finance department will be fixing that, and we're going to the city council with an amendment showing a fix for this. I do want to acknowledge, though, that we do have, and I have to admit that there are some upcoming fees or upcoming expenses with retirement that are unfunded. It doesn't account to $5.9 million over the next 4 years. Our budget in this last biennium grew, been reported on, and it actually isn't a document that was adopted by the city council. It's just very unfortunate that it's not the correct document. So I feel confident in the information that I've presented that we can fund this with the commissioner's approval. We can fund this program and with those strategies that we have and efficiencies that we have that Rachel's helped to identify, we can fund this program with the general fund. I have to bring up revenue. I just have to bring up revenue. I am going to try and put in this fund 100% of what it's going to take to run it for the next year out of the general fund. I do think revenues are going to increase. I think it's a natural part of a good program that revenues increase. And as those revenues increase, they will offset the cost, general fund money that's going in there. And then in the next biennium, which we'll start planning for in a year, actually from now, we'll be able to have a better idea of what we can count on for revenues. So I do think that there will be some money potentially coming back to the general fund that will be offset by the revenues, but we're not going to count on that this first year. We're going to go ahead and try and fund it with the general fund. One other thing I want to mention. You know, we do believe in this process, and we've been involved in it, and we're so thankful for everything. And when I say we, it's the staff I'm speaking for. We're so thankful for everything that this committee has done. And, you know, the idea is to enhance the program every way you look at it to enhance. And so that's why we work so hard to try and get to a point where we can fund this. My point was going to be, I kind of lost it and came back to it, but my point was going to be, we're not going to take these recommendations from you and say, that's nice, if someone comes up with $100,000, we'll be happy to do this. We are going out and we're finding this, and we've already identified some. It's not approved. We have some more work to do, but we're going to do everything that we can to ensure that the recommendations that this committee is making actually see the light of day and that the citizens in our community benefit from them. Because I know, based on what you're proposing, that the community will benefit from them. So thank you.
Questions? We have a few minutes.
Is this will need to be approved by the Park Commission, correct?
That's correct.
And do you have a date when you're thinking that would happen?
Well, I'm going to say it's going to happen in the April, May time frame, because we need to get to the city council as well, because we do want to amend the budget. The budget, I believe, will be amended in June with the city council. So we want to have the Parks Commissioner's approval. We'll probably start reviewing it in March, but have the approval maybe in April, and then get it to the city council right after that.
I guess I was just concerned in terms of the recall, if that could have any impact on anything.
I would be really careful not to make any speculations about what the recall could affect or couldn't, because it could look like I'm trying to influence by making something sound worse than it could be or whatever. So I'm just gonna, I can't respond to that.
Okay.
Because I'm a paid employee. So.
Other comments, Peggy?
I have a question. Sometimes when I'm thinking about the budget for the center and the salaries, are we putting all our money in the superintendent pot and don't have enough for the other employees that are going to be there? For instance, if this person is out in the community, isn't there some very important person who has to be back there taking care of all the social services and things? And is there enough money allocated for that person? I just didn't know whether we should be thinking actually a little more modestly about the top salary and really think about this other person who has to be back there doing quite a bit of work, probably all the social services and referrals and information that's now being done by a fairly well-paid at least one day a week
can I just qualify fairly well-paid really quick? Because we're actually just paying the full cost of the employee, and it's not what they're taking home.
I shouldn't even mention that. Yeah. That kind of service can be, if it's done well, can be a little bit expensive. Are we going to have enough money apart from the superintendent job to do that job?
under our superintendents, we have managers and coordinators. And coordinators are specific to a function. They're higher level generally. Some of them have degrees, and they function, they're specific to a certain function. And I'll give a couple of examples. The person who does all of our advertising, some of you may work with her, her name is Dorinda Sharp, is attack, right? She's a coordinator, and she has a lot of responsibilities. She maintains, manages projects. She gets things done from start to finish, and that's the kind of position she's in. That's a coordinator position. The person who's overseeing the care and the management of the senior center on a day-to-day basis on the ground level right now is a coordinator. That's Lori Ainsworth. She's a coordinator as well. So if you're familiar with these two people, you're probably familiar with the higher level employee, not quite the level superintendent, but somebody who, in the absence of the superintendent, is definitely capable of representing and keeping the ship afloat. Also,
what kind of salary is that position?
So the mid range for a coordinator position is in the $25 an hour range. So, you know, I think the way that we're organizing it now, the way that we are organized, it seems appropriate to have the superintendent and then to the coordinator and then down to the assistants. In talking about this, the coordinator will probably be the person who's at the senior center the most. But the superintendent definitely should be there. But the superintendent has this huge job. And it's not just the senior center, just like I talked about. It's not one location. It's senior services for everybody within the community. And we all know that everybody who needs senior services are at the senior center every single day. They're throughout the community. And one of their big jobs is going to be finding ways to reach those people and working with partners like RV Cog.
I think the coordinator, you know, that will have that important job of the one-to-one,
mm-hmm.
being the warm, welcoming person that everybody knows, and that's a very important person.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And, you know, we as we go through this and we review it, and, you know, we do get people in these positions, and it feels like the coordinator is a bigger job than what it is, we can look at it and evaluate it. If we have to increase it, we'll increase it. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to have the person there, and this is what I think it'll cost to do that.
Catherine, and then me.
But also, it seems to me it's like both the superintendent and the coordinator's role to find many other people who will be doing the one-on-one thing. We're not
right.
I mean, there are many people who could be trained and who already have the skills to do that who may or may not be on staff.
Right, and that's a hard one for me to actually get across a lot, because, you know, what it really is these people being knowledgeable enough to exploit the resources that are already there, and not to do everything themselves, but to exploit those resources for the benefit of everybody in the community. And so that's the goal and the vision with both of those, and I think they're both at the level that they can do that. Superintendent obviously is a higher level, more representative of the entire services. Coordinator, more representative of the actual programming that happens at the center and all the other places as well.
Okay, I don't want to push you too fast, but are there other questions and or comments before Jeff and
I just want to acknowledge the fact that having a stable funding source like you've defined is absolutely critical. I know there was some recommendation from the community initially that this should be its own separate entity, and I don't think people understand that funding something like that, the staffing of that, is very difficult. So having this as a separate division with a stable funding source is going to ensure the the ongoing program.
So I would like to ask for a motion to approve the recommendation if we're ready, but I see Catherine handles that.
So I just wanted to thank you and the whole staff for, but I'm sure it's been some late night conversations to find
the support of the senior managers and superintendents, there's no way to accomplish this. And we're still not there yet, but I think we feel really comfortable.
And I absolutely agree with that, and thank you for saying that, Catherine, because I know there's been many discussions and trying to find out where can we move things around, and things are people. So it's been a tough process, and it's ongoing, so I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So if I could hear, is there a motion to approve the proposed programs would be for 2018-19 fiscal year, and it would be at the level of, is this correct, the level of 307,000? I might have the wrong number. 309.
309.
Okay. So it would be a motion to approve the recommendation for the proposed budget being at 309,000 for the new fiscal year.
I move that we accept that recommendation for approval of the budget the next fiscal year.
Is there a second?
A second.
Catherine, second. Is there discussion? Okay, so all in favor? It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
And good job. Another recommendation, so congratulations to the committee. We have two substantive items left on the agenda, number 10 and 11. I want to ask committee members, which might make number 10 more leisurely and give us more time, if anybody has any items that they are planning on bringing up or have thought about bringing up during that item number 11, items for the committee. Anybody have something in mind already at this point? I didn't think so. And so what that means, Jackie, is we can blend those two, and item number 10 will be between now and when we adjourn. So I'm turning it over to you.
Great. Thank you, John. I think that's a great idea. I appreciate that. Is there a question? No. Okay. So I just wanted to, we're at that point now where we're actually looking at our draft recommendations. This is a celebration that we've got this far. Wonderful. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the process that I would like to use and make sure you're okay with that. So you should all have the paper here that has the 9 standards on it, and you have your draft recommendations that you've been sending in, and they each have a letter. So it's a letter A, B, C, D under each number. What I'd like to do is to start with category 1, which is purpose and planning, and then read the first recommendation, and then ask for any discussion. If there is any disagreement on a particular recommendation, I'd like to put a hold on that and allow us to move through so that when we're done reviewing any category, we can then have a motion approving the items that we all do have agreement on now. And then any of those lettered recommendations that we don't have agreement on, we can come back to those in March. And these would be items that people want to change, or they want to delete, or they're wanting to add another draft recommendation. We do still have one more meeting, so this is not the total summation necessarily of the recommendations going forward. And I just want to mention that if there is a disagreement that cannot be resolved on a specific recommendation, certainly any member of ASPAC can write a minority report opinion on any recommendation. Any questions about that?
I have a question, process question. So are you going to ask the committee to go 1 through 9 with all of the letters and then vote, or accept a recommend all of those recommendations that were not questioned?
So let me give an example. So let's say we go through purpose and planning, and we do 1A, B, and we agree on everything, but maybe not C. Let's say, well, I'm just thinking that out as an example. So then I would ask for a motion to approve, under purpose and planning, the recommendations A, B, D, and E. And we would get that into the record that those have been approved, and we would circle C to go back to in March. And that way, I think we can get through quite a bit today, but I want to make sure we spend just enough time to read through what is the recommendation and give the opportunity for anyone to discuss or question or whatever they want to do.
So you'll ask number by number,
yes,
all of the...
category by category.
And then the next thing, it might be useful to remind the committee about where these recommendations came from.
So these draft...
potential recommendations.
Yes, these potential draft recommendations have been coming in from everyone at different times, and especially in their committee work, because as people have been working on the job description, the program description, the community assessment, we have touched on every one of these areas, community partnerships, I'm looking at Laura, because that's a whole category, you know, to itself. And I will say that those of you who have different expertise in different areas, especially people who use the senior program, so Peggy and myself, Marion, you know, who are there every week, we certainly have ideas in the program implementation. So, is that clear?
Yeah, I just want everyone to know.
Okay. So, yes,
I have a question that you asked, where they're coming from. Where are they going? Are they going to the full commission for them to say they accept these recommendations?
Okay.
Or what are the purpose of these recommendations?
Okay, so our goal, our one major goal of this committee has been to come to this point, basically, and that is to give recommendations about the senior program to APRC. So this is really where we have reached a point where we are accomplishing, we're very close to accomplishing what our one major goal was and is. And remember, where did we get, you know, how did we form these recommendations? And that was through public input, all those public sessions, listening sessions, of course, the survey, open houses, then certainly looking at every one of us here, including staff, commissioners, all of us who are partners, community partners, and also participants like you and myself, that recommendations came from there. And then recommendations also came, of course, from searching out best practices and national standards for senior programs. So from those three areas, we have come to this point with these recommendations.
I would just like to say that, well, I see the value of the categories of the practices, or whatever they're called. It seems to me that we might have approached this with priorities and actually suggest, and I think that Commissioner Gardner mentioned that he was hoping that we would put the recommendations in the form of priorities rather than just, you know, really putting them all out there at one time. So I think there are certain things here that really are priority that we might star, and others that, you know, are not so important for them.
And
others?
These are not recommendations that APRC is actually doing, but they are recommendations that would be the charge of the new senior services superintendent. And I would hope that rather than us trying to identify priorities, that that new individual would have the expertise to be able to assign the priorities himself or herself.
Anyone else?
Well, along those lines, and good observation, I think we had some discussion earlier on as a committee about looking at empowering, and now that we have a new title, the superintendent, to take the content that we contributed and identify them as priorities. But should individuals on our committee feel that it might be a good add-on to give our own personal perspective. It could be that the superintendent, once established, could potentially do a survey with all of the members of our committee so that we could help give our perspective on the priorities that might be addressed first.
Yeah, Mary.
I have been planning on at least two items, asking that they be considered high priority. And one of them is an item that actually is really more for the commission. And that is the item, I forget where it is in here, but it's to keep the current program operating as is at 1699 Holmes Avenue. I think that really is aimed at the commission. So that's one I will be asking to prioritize. So I'm at least going to be doing that.
Okay, so now I want to clarify. So I understood that I'm looking at these now. These are recommendations going to
APRC.
And they will then, the APRC will say, we would like the new superintendent to carry these out.
And maybe.
Is that correct?
That's how I understand it.
Okay.
But I certainly, if either Commissioner Lewis or Gardner would like to discuss how do you see, once APRC looks at these recommendations, and if they choose to approve them, do you then see them as being then turned over to a great degree, I would imagine, to the new senior program superintendent as well as the director of parks?
Well, I would comment on that you know, this turns into a roadmap for the incoming superintendent. I don't know that it needs to be necessarily approved by the commission, although we could adopt it, once that person is hired, that we would encourage them to use this document. I mean, if you want to know what this group put together, a lot of it's contained in this.
Well, I'm noticing now that some of these lettered items are things that the commissioners would do, like develop a job description, right? And then others will, as you just said, Mike, you said before, will go to the new hire. So it seems like there's a mix in there. The one that Marion mentioned is for the commissioners, as an example. So it sounds like there's a mix of audiences for the recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Jack, your plan is kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, is for the commissioners to sort of work that out once they get this list of approved recommendations. Catherine?
It seems to me that we're also forgetting that there's going to be an advisory.
Absolutely.
And I would imagine that they would get them, and they'll have substantive discussion and maybe ask for clarifications, I don't know.
Absolutely.
But that this is not, it's not just, it's the responsibility of the advisory committee to hold the superintendent's feet to the fire to accomplish as much of this as possible within reason.
Jim?
And I think the commissioners would be looking for direction from the director on the amount and how to flesh these out and prioritize. And I think Marion's point about maintaining services and things would really go towards the director's
I might just add, if even though we're using all our time, if we went through this list and did highlight the specific areas that individual or groups of people wanted to ensure that the commission looked at, we could highlight those as the commission reviews this document, is that these are things that are important to either individuals or to the group, you know, more than the others, because a lot of them, like John said, you know, train senior program staff how to provide outreach. Well, that's for sure going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why we're going to hire this person, and that's what they're going to do. So, you know, I guess if we went through the list and there were specific things that you thought the commission might need to address.
So my suggestion at this point would be, let's go ahead and start, and let's make sure that if anyone feels that this particular recommendation should be
prioritize, let's just put a P by it. And that's for prioritize. And then maybe at our next meeting in March, we might even have different levels of priority. And we've certainly already prioritized things like program and job description and the separate division and the community assessment. We've done those things. So they were so important that this committee did them, made sure it happened.
All the high-level recommendations have been approved. And I joined Jackie in wanting to get going, and I want to remind myself and all of you, we do have a whole other meeting in March. So I think unless there's any other direction or suggestion, Jackie's asking that we begin to start to go through them and say if you wish to prioritize them, we'll do something for that.
Okay, let's
go
try it and see. Okay, so the first area is purpose and planning. And the first recommendation, A, is create a vision for the future of the Ashland Senior Program. Yes.
So isn't this a vision statement that usually it goes along with a mission statement?
Yes, absolutely.
So maybe it should just say create a vision statement.
And there are two different things.
Discussion?
I know they are two different things, but generally they're statements.
Right.
This seems too vague, like someone might not know how to create the vision. What you're trying to do is paraphrase what you want to have happen with the vision. At least
and
from my experience.
We wanted to kind of work with it here.
I just wanted to be clear as what that is. So I guess I'm asking more of a question. Is it to create a vision statement, or is it, because that could be a whole workshop.
What it would
day.
Do is to create a vision statement for the future of the Ashland Senior Programs. Just put the word statement in there.
I'm not trying to create controversy.
I believe that.
No, you want clarification. I understand.
I guess when I hear that, Mike, I'm thinking a vision is bigger than a vision statement.
Okay.
And so, and that's how I would interpret that. I may be wrong, but
me
I'm
too.
Thinking
leadership. It's a leadership vision.
I don't know how to do that.
But I bet you a senior program superintendent would know how to create a vision.
Okay.
They don't do it in a vacuum.
Right. That's true.
More discussion about that one.
Okay, on to B. Revisit the mission statement with new program description in mind to determine need for revisions. This is 1B. The mission statement has not been visited for a while.
Do you just want people to say?
Yeah, let's clarify. If we're going to be silent, does that mean assent?
I would say if we're silent, it's assent.
Yeah,
any discussion on that? Okay. 1C. Develop planning documents with goals, objectives, and action plans that align with the vision and mission statement. B. Review the results of the community needs survey and evaluate feasibility of adopting frequently suggested ideas. Marion.
I'd just like to add one little bit in there to expand this a bit, to say to review the results of public input and the community needs survey, as an example, the community needs survey.
Yeah.
So it would read, review the results of public input and the community needs survey, and evaluate feasibility of adopting frequently suggested ideas. Yes.
Any discussion? Any problems here? Because we're going to keep zipping along, but please ask questions. What was there one?
Well,
she was smiling. I don't know.
I don't know if this is throwing something in that doesn't need to be thrown in here, but a vision for Ashland seniors that encompasses city goals, or is this totally separate from city goals for Ashland seniors?
Are you back at 1A right now? It's okay. I just want to make sure I'm
I guess that's pretty much it. I mean,
Okay, create a vision for Ashland seniors. Can you repeat that again?
With respect to the citywide goals, is what she's saying. It's trying to
align
that vision
city goals
with the city goals.
A collaborative.
A collaborative, right.
create a collaborative vision for Ashland seniors in...
That aligns with city goals.
That aligns with city goals. How
just briefly, because that's what we do, like most in departments or in the parks, EPRCs, we try to align our goals with what the city council has established as the goal to make sure there's continuity in what we're doing. And the vision is a pretty big thing, you know, and it would need to be aligned with what the vision of the city was, I think. I don't know if that's...
So let me repeat it, please. Create a collaborative vision for Ashland, for the future of Ashland seniors that aligns with city council goals.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone okay with that?
That would give more direction, I think, to everyone.
I'd rather see it's the Ashland senior program than Ashland seniors, but I'll pick it.
Yeah, I would say the senior program.
Okay.
Also, if we assume that the Parks and Rec goals and vision already is aligned with the city, then why, and we are, this is a separate division, wouldn't we be aligning with the Parks and Rec vision and not the city's, because they already do mirror that?
If I can just comment really quick.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is what you said, but in most cases. The fact is that the senior services program is big, and there are things at the city council that might directly relate to them. So I don't think it's a problem saying in alignment with city goals, but I do think it needs to be maybe in alignment with parks, APRC, and city goals, just because there definitely are multiple levels that we're dealing with here.
So I can add APRC and city council goals in there.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, as a side, perhaps the senior services will direct what will cause change in the city.
That's part of my hope, is that.
Yeah, or if nothing else, it'll at least align with it.
Expanding, I don't know if there's going to be another commission or another group. This may be it.
Yeah.
And if it is, looking at an Ashland friendly community and it more important scope, I think that we shouldn't limit ourselves to not think big.
Right. I hear you. And so I will add, I think we can approve that when we get there, given the essence of what we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have one more
suggestions. One more. Yep.
Yeah, one more in category one, and that's E. Produce an annual report of accomplishments based on the planning document.
I think that needs to be moved to evaluation. Any kind of an annual report would be a part of the yearly evaluation, or it should be.
It certainly can be. In the national standards, they did put this concept here, but then in evaluation, it doesn't matter to me. I think an annual report of accomplishments is very important, and I think it is part of the evaluation, Mary. So I agree with you. I have no problem with that. Anyone else have a problem with moving it under evaluation?
So 1E has just become...
It's still there,
you know,
but it
moved. It would be 60.
Cool.
All right, so we have gone through now the first category, and we have agreed, I believe, to approve the draft recommendations of 1A, B, C, and D. We're going to move E to evaluation. Can I get a motion for approving that?
I would love to make that motion.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I would second.
Thank you, Jim. Can I say as amended?
As amended.
Do we need to have any discussion? I'm looking at Jim. On preliminary amendment?
Oh, no. That's fine.
Okay, so it has been...
Well, I wonder
yes.
if we want to approve this before we see I'm not opposed to approving, but we don't know what the final wording is, and if we're saying we won't discuss 1, A, B, C, and D again, when we, what if the concept of whatever we're discussing about the vision, whatever is written in a way we...
So well, there was only one that was amended, A.
Yeah, it's just A.
And D.
And D, we added public input. And I think we probably can add public input without a problem. But maybe what we need to do then is hold A, and then I can rewrite it and then pass it around. Okay, so could I hear, let's do this again then. So could I have a motion to approve 1, B, C, and D?
As amended. So, I'll do that.
So, is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah. Second. Okay. So, it has been moved and seconded to accept 1, B, C, and D with that slight amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All opposed? Okay. On to category 2.
Well, yeah. So, let's take a moment here, if you'll allow it. It is past 5:15.
It is.
So,
I think this is a good place to stop. I know we have another meeting coming in, and I really appreciate all of you being able to at least, you know, get started on that first category. We're starting to work. I think it's going to work just fine. But that means that in this coming month, as we're communicating back and forth with the recommendations in the draft form, please let us know what your concerns or suggestions are.
So, and another way of saying that, and I'm hearing you say, is you'd like people to study this and know what their thinking is before they show up at the last meeting so we can go through it pretty efficiently. Laura?
Perhaps as well, we might consider reviewing it, studying it, and sending recommendations for change to Jackie within the next 2 weeks. So when it comes back to the table at the next meeting, we'll have something more final to...
I really appreciate that, because then to take everyone's time here to wordsmith, that makes it a lot harder. So thank you. And our next meeting...
Well done.
It's in March. March 12th, the last meeting. Thank you all for all your hard work. Really, everyone, thank you. Michael, thank you. All the subcommittees, great job.
Thank you, too.